Before we get into today's episode, let me tell you about patreon.com/TheDelvinCoxExperience. There, you can listen to episodes 2 days earlier, as well as get exclusive shows such as So Tell Me, an introspective podcast by My Crazy Life, hosted by Chalfie, the D&D podcast, an entertainment podcast with Delvin Jr. talking about all things pop culture, On Shuffle, a music podcast hosted by Mike Fowler, and much, much more. So go to patreon.com/TheDelvinCoxExperience. That's patreon.com/TheDelvinCoxExperience. I want to give a special shout out to Patreon producer Mikey Famine, host of the Ben Podcast and Dig on America. Thank you. Welcome to the Delvin Cox Experience, the podcast in which each week I'm on a one-man mission to unite our culture through diversity. I'm your host, Delvin Cox, and this is a podcast I've been holding off for a while. You know, I did it originally July of last year, and it's a conversation about gun control. And I've had multiple episodes discussing it, you know, and I didn't put it out last year because, frankly speaking, it's depressing. It's a hard conversation to have, and we're still having the shootings. It's not like it stopped. We've had even more, a lot more since this has happened. But I think now's a good time to put these episodes out for people to kind of get an understanding and hear a different point of view. And maybe at the end we'll have questions, and maybe we'll have a conversation about it with a more diverse group of people. But this is the first episode. On this episode, I have Jason Dutch giving his opinions on gun control. Hope you listen. Hope you enjoy it. Hope you get some knowledge from it. Thank you. I'd like to welcome on the podcast right now, this special episode of the Delvin Cox Experience, my boy Jason Dutch. How you doing, brother?
What's up, man? How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good, man. And it's a really interesting times right now with everything going on with the whole conversation that happens pretty much every year around this time. Mm-hmm. Gun control. What should we do about these school shootings, these mass shootings all across the country? So I figured, let's have a conversation about it with different people and get their viewpoints on it. So before we get into everything, the conversation, let me ask you first, where do you stand on the gun debate? Do you stand, hey, we need to get rid of guns? As some people say, let's take guns out of people's hands. Do you think we need stricter laws on gun control? Do you think leave things the way they are? Because there are different takes that a lot of people have on this. So I want to know where you kind of, what's your viewpoint on it in general? So we can go from there.
Well, contrary to the American flag and Harley hat, where folks might have a preconceived notion, I am a gun owner. You know, I own a few, a couple handguns and a rifle and a semi-automatic 22 caliber rifle. I don't own what I would call a weapon of war, like a AR-15. I know I've heard all the debates that, you know, an AR-15 isn't really as powerful as people say. That sort of thing. So I'm in an interesting place where, like, you know, it's a settled issue for the most part in this country. So, you know, guns really aren't going anywhere. My issue is with gun culture and, you know, restricting access. So I'm not against people owning guns per se, but I'm also not for, let's just put it this way. I don't think anyone's attacking your home. You know, there's not a gang of ninjas attacking your home. So I really see no, you know, point to having an arsenal either.
Well, let me ask you this. I don't know if you know the answer or not, but a simple definition would suffice for this, for those who don't know, because this has been also a constant debate online and everything like that. What exactly is an AR-15? Because we often hear that people say it's an assault rifle. Then people say, no, it's not an assault rifle. It's two sides playing different takes on the weapon and giving their own opinions on how deadly it is or not deadly it is.
Well, I mean, let's just put it this way. One of the young ladies who was killed in Uvalde, Texas, the coroner said that there was going to be significant work to be done in order to have an open casket funeral. She was shot one time in the head.
Wow.
They had to identify her by the hearts she drew on her shoes. So, you know, it's certainly more powerful than like my 22 caliber semi-automatic rifle, which by the way, only has a magazine of 10. but the, you know, it's, it, it, is it the most powerful caliber of weapon out there? No, I would say it's somewhere in the middle as far as caliber goes. You know, that's probably a question for an expert on the different calibers of guns, which I'm not.
Hopefully we'll have somebody on there who's the expert on that.
It's, you know, you're going to have Q on later, right? Like, yeah. So, you know, and he's an expert, but the main issue is the amount of rounds that are able to be fired per second, as well as the magazine size, you know, and those are the, you know, how many you can fit into the clip. Right. So, it is more of a weapon of war. Let's put it this way. Is it as much of a weapon of war as an M16 or a submachine gun? No. Right. It's not a mini gun. I get it. Right. But it's also not a 22. It's not a 9mm. It's not a Glock. It is a different kind of weapon. They look cool. I'll give you that. But, you know, and I think that's part of the problem, to be honest with you.
That makes sense. Let me ask you this, because you are, I don't know if I mentioned it earlier, but they should know. You've been on this podcast multiple times. You do a podcast called Dig on America that talks about political things and politics. You're getting a lot of debates with people and things like that on social media about these politics. So in one of the episodes, you eloquently explained what the Second Amendment is. So in a brief type of sentence, what is the Second Amendment and what does that guarantee Americans based off of your knowledge?
Well, the interesting thing about the Second Amendment is that the Second Amendment is not necessarily part of the original Constitution. It's part of the Bill of Rights, right? So the Second Amendment is remarkably short. In fact, the Constitution of the United States is remarkably short. But the Second Amendment is basically a follow-up to Article 1, Section 9, I believe. And it basically says that in order to have a well-regulated militia, the right to bear arms shall not be infringed. I know I'm missing a word there or two, but there's a lot of argument about like where the comma is at. There's a lot of argument about, you know, whether or not it should be viewed as one whole statement or whether or not it should be viewed as two statements, like the Heller case ruled. And it really depends, honestly, on who you ask, because there are people who are on the right who will give you a entirely different definition of the Second Amendment than what someone on the left might. Now, I am definitely on the left, but I don't necessarily have that that normal regurgitated definition that someone on the left might have. I think there's nuance. I think there's ambiguity there. And that's part of the problem, is the Constitution just in general is written from a point of ambiguity. If I think sometimes we focus too much on the Second Amendment, Delvin.
Yeah, I was going to get to that. That's one of the things I want to add. Well, I ask you now. Fuck it. We're right here. Why do you think out of all the amendments, this is the one that everybody kind of says can't be changed, can't be altered. This is the one we stand on. No matter what else happens, the Constitution has amendments for a reason. But this is the one that can't be touched.
Well, that goes into the gun culture conversation. And if it's okay with you, I don't mind to usurp your show, but
this is your time.
I'll answer that question in a minute. Right. Let me, if I could, I just pulled it up because I want to make sure I get all the words right. Article 1, Section 8, I was wrong. It's not Section 9, is where the need for a Second Amendment came from, right? So the Article 1, Section 8 of this Constitution talks about Congress's powers. It talks about taxes and, you know, treaties and commerce and those sorts of things, coining money. And then the second half of Article 1, Section 8, talks about the ability, you know, what Congress is going to do as far as defending the country. So making sure that I get this exactly verbatim correct. It says to punish piracies and felonies committed on the high seas and offenses against the law of the nations. Again, I'm skipping to the middle of this section. To declare war, grant letters of marque and reprisal, and make rules concerning captures on land and on water. To raise and support armies, but no appropriation of money to that use, with a capital U, shall be longer term than 2 years. To provide and maintain a navy, and this is where it gets interesting, to make rules for the government and regulation of the land and naval forces, semicolon, to provide for calling forth the capitalized militia, to execute the laws of the Union, suppress insurrections, and repel invasions, semicolon, to provide for organizing, arming, and disciplining the militia, capitalized again, and for governing such part of them as may be employed in the service of the United States, reserving to the states respectively the appointment of the officers and the authority of training the militia according to the discipline prescribed by Congress. Okay. So, and then it goes on to talk about things for like forts and stuff like that. So you almost never hear that. Now, that was not enough for some of the states, right? They wanted a Bill of Rights because they didn't feel that the Constitution as it was written and described in the Federalist Papers gave them the specific rights, right? So, you know, you had Hamilton and John Jay, who wrote the vast majority of the Federalist Papers, and they their job was basically to sell the new Constitution to the states, and they did so via those papers. But they made an agreement to set up a Bill of Rights, which the framers of the Constitution thought the original body of the Constitution was more than enough to lay out that Bill of Rights as basically de facto or implied, right? And what is implied from the Constitution comes in to play a lot, especially when it comes to, the Supreme Court and stuff looking at stuff. So they added the Second Amendment, the first through 10th in the Bill of Rights. And then the Second Amendment obviously is one of the shorter, if not the shortest, of those amendments. So, you don't hear a lot about Article 1, Section 8, right? And it's, they wanted more clarity to be able to say, hey, you know what? We want to make sure that the states are able to defend themselves from powers coming from the outside, because you had a bunch of white guys who felt oppressed, who felt in danger from, because they, in one way, because they had been oppressed by King George. In other ways, they were being, they were afraid of a super strong central government. And the Constitution itself was giving us a stronger central government, because our first agreement as a country was the Articles of Confederation, which lasted for just about a decade and was so weak and didn't allow anyone to collect, the federal government to collect taxes, that it was decided, hey, we need a stronger central government. And they were afraid of that central government because they were afraid of being oppressed. Because, yeah, it's human nature not want to be oppressed, though they oppressed other people without too much issue. But, so that's why we set up the Second Amendment. And if you read the text and you look at the text and you study the text of Article 1, Section 8, it adds a lot of context to what we have with the Second Amendment, right? That I don't think a lot of people talk about, because it talks about regulating them and, you know, calling them into action. And I think that that's far too often dismissed and ignored by the gun culture club.
Yeah, it's mostly referring to militias.
Mm-hmm. And the Navy, right? Yeah. Because, you know, that they were really against the standing army for the most part. There was a lot of debate among the framers, and we're not talking about the founders here. The founders and the framers are different people. Many of the same people, but a different group of people. And the framers, you know, they, when they put all this together, they had certain ideas in mind. And they were not super convinced that we needed a standing army at all times. They kind of liked the idea more of, you know, just calling in militias. But the Second Amendment really has three parts to it, right? And none of them have anything to do with hunting. They have to do with putting down insurrections, fighting a government, whether it's a foreign government or the government of the United States, if the government of the United States becomes tyrannical. But the question then becomes, Delvin, what is tyrannical? Who defines that? Just electing Barack Obama to president to some people was tyrannical. You know, yeah. CRT is tyrannical to some people. You know, gay marriage is tyrannical to some people. So we start looking at, okay, what is tyrannical? And there's a huge spectrum of difference, some which are bordering on crazy town, where they think that, you know, they're burning books because of the tyranny of these un-American teachers, these teachers who are trying to teach CRT and socialist un-American ideas. And they keep telling me this. But now last week they say, well, maybe we should arm those exact same teachers.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah, well, since you brought it up, let's get there. What do you think, first and foremost? I'm going to call a spade a spade. When I usually do this, I try to be impartial as possible, because I want people to have their own voice and express their opinions without mine. But I'm going to be a little partial with this when I say this.
Sure.
Whether people want to admit it or not, we have a huge gun control problem. Mm-hmm. We keep having mass shootings in this country, and it doesn't seem like, frankly speaking, anyone wants to do anything to go forth to solve the problem.
Nope.
So
they don't.
We're almost at an impasse right now with this. And I want to ask you first, Jason Dutch. One, what should the country do to solve this problem? Two, what do you think the country should do to solve this problem? And three, how do you think America as a whole has handled this? Because this isn't like a new thing. This didn't start with Joe Biden. This didn't start with Trump. This didn't start with Obama. This has been going on since I've been a kid.
Yeah. Longer than that. You know, we're about the same age, I think. I'm 48. And
no.
No, okay.
I'm 5 years younger than you.
Yeah, screw you. Whippersnapper. Look, man, semi-automatic guns have been around for 100 years, if not more. But this particular problem is recent, right? Sure, we had issues with automatic weapons, you know, with in the 20s, you know, Al Capone, those sorts of things, which of course we romanticize now.
Yes.
Oddly enough, you know, but we had issues back then. And then, you know, we went to war, and then we got done with the war, and we had a big economic boom in this country for some people. And then around the 80s, you started to see, you know, some issues with gangs getting their hands on automatic weapons, which sort of coincided with, you know, the need to implement a war on drugs.
Yes.
So it leads me to believe that it, and we all know what they meant when they said war on drugs.
Yes, we do.
So, you know, there's borderline conspiracy theories about that being fabricated or being pushed. I wasn't there. I tend to think that that particular conspiracy theory is actually a lot, has a lot more real than it does Memorex. But nonetheless, you know, this real problem of I'm going to go shoot up a church, I'm going to go shoot up a school, I'm going to go shoot up a hospital is a relatively recent problem. And again, semi-automatic weapons have been around for over 100 years. So where do you think this cultural shift comes from? Delvin. It's, and I know I'm going to get to the second part of your question, but it comes from gun culture. You know, people say all the time that guns are a tool, and they're not wrong. Guns are a tool. They're an inanimate object. You hear it all the time. Guns don't kill people. People kill people. But if it's a tool, there's a big difference between someone who takes a picture on Facebook like this with their vest and their finger off the button hook and holding that rifle because it makes them look cool. If it's a tool, where's the pictures of people with drills and screwdrivers and hammers? Because last I checked, those were tools as well, right?
Home Depot.
Maybe if you work at Home Depot, right? Like maybe it's, but this isn't about freedom. It's about status. It's about, look, I will kill you. Look who I am. I will kill you. I am ready to fight you. I have power. I'm fucking Iron Man, you know, essentially with armor and the ability to shoot out, you know, firepower, you know, it's become associated with manlyhood. And yeah, there's women who take pictures with a gun, some usually half naked, but those pictures are aimed towards gun culture, right? Of course, you see a woman in a hijab with a gun, she's a terrorist, but a woman in a bikini with an American flag and a gun is a patriot. Interesting.
I was going to ask you that because I remember as a teenager, and it showed my age a little bit, anytime I would go into like a grocery store, like a Winn-Dixie or a Publix or something like that, a supermarket, they would have these big, they would have the magazine racks. Mm-hmm. And you'd always have on that magazine rack, because my brother's a police officer and things like that, so he used to collect these books, guns and ammo books.
Mm-hmm.
And on the book, they would kind of have like the bikini clad woman holding the guns and things like that, but they were like, it was a thing. I remember my brother having these giant stacks of guns and ammo books and just reading about different types of guns and the things they could do and the technology. I mean, it was kind of that was an era. I don't know if they still have those prevalent in grocery stores. I remember going to a grocery store a lot and seeing guns and ammo books like right next to the comic books and things like that. And Reader's Digest and all those type of books, and you see like a guns and ammo book right in the corner or a hunting mag.
Mm-hmm. And that all adds into the gun culture, right? Like all those things on their own can be somewhat benign. But when you put them all together, then you start to have a cultural issue, right? And like, but not the culture, like people will bring up gang violence as a cultural issue. We know where the gun cultural issue comes from, and it'll trigger people and they'll say, oh, you know, you're going with the race thing again. But like, you don't, sure, you'll see black kids, you know, some of whom are in gangs and stuff that'll post stuff, but they're even them are emulating what they see from, you know, the gun culture folks. And we know where that all starts at. This is a male problem, right? So you ask, what do you do about it? At this point, you have two pieces of this. You have the culture problem, then you have a mental health problem. In some ways, those things are tied together. Now, mental illness is not the same thing as mental health, right? So, but both of those things can have an influence on whether or not, you know, someone is going to be what you call a responsible, law-abiding gun owner. And don't worry, I'll get back to that term, because that term's bullshit. But you have, like, we can't even get healthcare in this country. So because we can't get single payer healthcare, we therefore have a deficiency when it comes to not only physical health, but mental health. Even dental health we can't get, and vision help we can't get. But the mental health thing affects everyone differently, and we are all on the spectrum for some sort of mental health issue, right? Like whether or not you have, like I could be a quote unquote law abiding citizen today and of sound mental health. But if I lose my job or my wife sleeps with the mailman tomorrow, I may no longer be in sound mental health, right? So you know, now, are you going to test people every day? Of course you can't do that. I mean, but once in a blue moon, sure. You know, and like you have these laws like in Georgia, and you have these laws in Texas, and you have these laws in Florida, you know, and you have these a lot of places where you can just go in and gun shows. Like, do you know that in most states, I could buy a gun and gift it to someone, even in a sales capacity? I could give a gun, especially in like Texas and Florida and Georgia. I can buy a gun and go give it to a customer of mine. Like, I drop off cookies or donuts. I can literally give them a gun as an influencer to try to get a business partnership with that person. And there's nothing that anybody can do about it. We have no idea where that gun is from. And that's different from a straw purchase, like with Rittenhouse, right? Because Rittenhouse was a clear straw purchase. But you know, there's no accountability for it whatsoever. And like, how do you know that that gun that you gave to that person, you don't know anything about that person. You don't know if their wife just left them 2 days ago. You don't know if they're in depression because maybe they had, you know, they had a child who got sick with COVID or something like that. And they believe COVID's a conspiracy started by Asian people. So therefore they're going to go shoot up Asians with it. Like, you don't know any of these things. Right. But we allow this complete lack of regulation. So what we really need to do, because unfortunately in this country, it's almost impossible. We're seeing it right now with Roe. It's almost impossible to pass a law and have it stand up indefinitely through the courts, especially when you have a conservative court in place right now. And Biden's not going to stack the court. Obviously, he's not going to do anything about this. Obviously, he keeps telling us, obviously, that he's going to do something tomorrow, and that they're going to do something, and that they're going to do something, and that enough is enough. And we've been hearing it. We heard it from Obama. We heard it from Jimmy Carter. We heard it from Clinton and all these Democratic presidents, and none of them do anything. In fact, they ratchet us closer to the right because their beloved donors are exactly the same people. You know, and then, and we have money in politics, the NRA. Oh, I'm getting millions of dollars from the NRA. I don't want to upset these beloved constituents of mine. Therefore we can't pass any, we really can't pass any laws because we have these few Democrats who are pandering to the right. So, and even if you did pass a law, it's just going to get thrown up to the Supreme Court at some point in time. And then you're going to have to look for another change of precedent, because let's not forget, gun culture in this country was very different until the Heller case in 2008. After that, it changed. That gave gun owners new rights that they did not have before because of that interpretation, which broke from tradition of every other gun case that had been before it.
Okay, before we go on, can you explain to people what the Heller case is? So those who don't know, we'll have an idea. You don't have to like get to the whole history of it, just give a synopsis.
I know about the Heller case, so the details of it, I'm trying to remember exactly. So you had, there was a case, and I remember in the beginning, I'm probably going to get a couple of details of this wrong. So someone else may be better to speak on it, but in a nutshell, you had some gun laws that were passed that were, I believe it was in Washington, D.C., that were restricting handguns. So they got a few people together. One of them was a guy named Heller. Another one was a black female who they really wanted to be the leading face of this case because she wanted to be able to own a handgun to protect herself. And as it made its way through the courts, eventually it became Heller was the only person who actually received damages from it. And they basically ended up redefining the Second Amendment as being two separate statements. You know, where the first seven or eight words is basically a separate statement from the second seven or eight words because of that aforementioned comma. I know what I'm talking about here, but I don't talk about this all the time. So please forgive me. The conversation is not like something I've had recently, and I'm it's a little bit old in my head. So I'm sketchily pulling back pieces as I'm thinking about it here.
Well, I did a little due diligence to look up a little brief synopsis of it to help you out with it.
Okay.
District of Columbia versus Heller case, mm-hmm. in which the U.S. Supreme Court on June 26, 2008, held 5-4 that the Second Amendment guarantees an individual's right to possess firearms independent of service in a state militia and to use firearms for traditionally lawful purposes, including self-defense within a home. So that was the ruling that they had.
Mm-hmm. And Heller was the only claimant, I believe, that actually received damages in that. The rest of the four or five people that were in that class action kind of fell by the wayside as things went on. So, but the impact of the case obviously changed the conversation. But again, you have to ask the question, what do we do? Right. The only thing you can do right now, because short of a constitutional amendment, which you will never get passed because you need 2/3 of the states to ratify a constitutional amendment. And we all know that any law that they put that Congress writes is going to just end up getting eventually sued, you know, challenged in court after court after court until they finally find a way to knock it down, be it in a year or in 100 years. The safest and best way to do this is to ratify a new amendment. We just can't do that because you have too many states that won't sign off on that amendment. You'd probably only get about 5 states that would sign it. So the only thing we're left with is executive order. And Biden has proven that he doesn't want to govern by executive order because, God forbid, those beloved Republicans who he's reaching across the aisle to, won't allow him to reach across the aisle on anything. They want him to reach across the aisle, but they don't want to actually take the hand. They'd rather cut it off. But he keeps pandering to them. So just go by executive order. File, 3 or 4 executive orders and let it work its way through the courts, right? Like, let the courts hash it out. Because right now, that's the only way that it's going to happen, especially when you have Manchins and Sinemas of the world who aren't going to let any meaningful legislation pass.
It seems like it, yeah. I've always been fascinated by this because, let's get into this part of it. The conversation on the Democrat side, at least, has been gun control. We need to limit the people who get guns. We need to put more rules out there for gun controls.
Mm-hmm.
But the conversation I've heard thus far from the Republican side of the argument has been mental health. This is a mental health issue. Guns are not the problem. It's the people who have the guns and can't punish the guns and things like that. Where do you fall in this argument? And how could we fix this? I guess that's the best way to say it.
That's not the argument from the right that I hear more often than not. I think the mental health issue is a lot more mainstream. I think I've seen numbers that anywhere between 80 and 95% of Americans agree that, we have a mental health issue in this country and that we should have meaningful legislation, when it comes to guns. Even Republicans overwhelmingly agree with background checks and mental and something being done as far as the causality between mass shootings and mental health to mitigate that. But the argument that I hear more from the right is the solution is more guns. They'll literally tell you that if everyone had a gun, that they believe people will be calmer and that you would have less problems, which I find interesting. Because everyone has a fist, that doesn't stop fist fights.
That's true. You know? Let me ask you this question before you go on, because you touched on something very interesting. You said that the right also agrees that we may need more mental health checks and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Why does it feel like even that isn't being done?
Because the 50 of them in Congress, the 50 of them in the Senate are beholden to the NRA, and they're not beholden to their constituency.
Cause
I'm getting millions
like...
of dollars from the NRA. Like, Mitt Romney have got $14 million from the NRA.
Wow. Because it feels like if we agree on this one aspect of it, we should at least, at the bare minimum, be able to do that.
number one, get money out of politics. Number two, pass a single payer healthcare system. And then we can, at least we have the tools to start doing something about guns. Frankly, we can't do anything about guns until we do those two things, unless it is done by executive action or executive order, because anything else is going to tiptoe its way. I mean, how many times we had this conversation?
Almost every year. Almost feels like,
you know, like, and, you know, they want to have everybody with a, all the good guys with a gun. You keep hearing good guy with a gun, right? You know, again, I've already pointed out the hypocrisy of this anti-American socialist teacher. Now, all of a sudden, this week, they want a gun in their hand. What's next? Guy in Tulsa shoots up a hospital. Now, should we arm the doctors? I thought doctors were pushing a mind control COVID virus vaccine on us just a minute ago. I could have sworn that I heard that that was true. And now, they want the doctors to be armed. It's, but they talk about law abiding. What is law abiding, right? Like, law abiding has literally, Delvin, has nothing to do with the Second Amendment. I'm going to put this to fucking bed. Law abiding has nothing to do with the Second Amendment, because law abiding owner, a law abiding gun owner is complicit in any government tyranny that is happening until the moment that you pick up your gun and go shoot people against the government. At that moment, you then become not law abiding. You can, if I'm pushing, if I am enslaving black people in the 1840s, I was law abiding. If I were in Nazi Germany and I were allowing Jews to be thrown into concentration camps and not doing anything about it, I was law abiding. Picking up your gun only makes you a criminal in the eyes of the law when you therefore go against the government. Tyrannical or not, law abiding is silly to use that terminology, because what is law? You know, is a law that exists good because it exists? Of course not. You know, and then they'll say, well, Jesus understood the importance of arms because he told his disciples to go grab swords as they go, you know, as they went to right before he was taken away by the Romans. And Jesus understood the need for arms. No, he didn't. Jesus said that because he was fulfilling prophecy where from, I believe it was Daniel or Ezekiel, I forget who, but there was a prophecy in the Old Testament that said that Jesus was going to be looked at as a insurrectionist, essentially. And in the eyes of Roman law, any two people with a sword, any two armed people together in a group could therefore be thought of as insurrectionists. So Jesus knew that to fulfill that prophecy, he needed to have two guys with a sword. And that was why he told them to break precedent from what they normally did and arm themselves for this particular night. If you believe what the Bible has said is true, of course. So like, so the religious tie-in has, is based on nothing too.
You're killing it. Final thing I want to bring up with this. Arming teachers.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on arming teachers, and what are your thoughts on some of the things I've been seeing?
It's stupidish.
Because they've been saying, I've heard so far, I've heard bulletproof desks.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard they're thinking about making like file cabinets bulletproof for the students.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on this type of?
Yeah, rat traps and you know, safe room buttons to lock them in like a rat. Yeah. Absolutely. Let's do that now. Go ahead and do it. I want to see it, because kids pull the fire alarm. You think they're not going to try to trap the little nerd guy in the lockdown part of the room? You think they're not going to lock a kid inside of you know, one of these bulletproof file cabinets that you can't get them out? You know, you think they're not going to steal these bulletproof backpacks? You think that a teacher with a gun? Last I checked, teachers are people, just like we have issues with police with guns. We would have an issue with teachers with guns. Can you just see it? Little Joey walks in talking trash, holding his phone in his hand. Nothing happens. Tyrone walks in talking trash, phone in his hand. Oh, I was scared. I thought he was a threat. So then you're going to have teachers shooting students, or then the gun could be stolen from the teacher. Where does the teacher keep it when he goes to take a shit? Right. You know, it's absurd. The teachers screwing we hear about teachers screwing students all the time. You think every one of these people is ethical? Of course not. You know, what if the teacher breaks up with his girlfriend the day before and he thinks his life is over? What do we do? You know, it would be a matter of time until a gun were stolen or you had an accidental shooting within a school and a life is taken where it shouldn't be. Schools should be no gun zones. I don't necessarily have a problem with having police at schools. Generally, I think that's a fine idea. But, you know, also, how much do you arm them, right? So if a kid's coming into a school with an AR-15 or an M16 and body armor, are you expecting the science teacher with a .22 caliber to go out there and play superhero against him? You know, to what level of defense do you have to make it, right? And I've made this analogy before. You're a comic book fan, right? And this might be a weird analogy, but in the first Avengers movie, and this might seem weird, but in the first Avengers movie, that shield compound was pretty well defended against threats that they thought were coming. But Loki went in there and blew that shit up, right? So it's all becomes about power level, right? So like, you can't shoot a guy with body armor on who can fire 30 rounds a second or, 13 rounds a second or whatever it is at a school resource officer who's equipped to defend against what, you know, I don't get, there's way too much that can go wrong unless you want to make schools military barracks. You know, it's absurd to me. I mean, the problem here is masculinity. The problem is that people use guns as their penis, as a proxy for their penis. You know, this, again, the pictures online, it's the culture has to change, right? We have to look at things like bullying. We have to, you know, look at things like healthcare. We have to look at things like money and politics and get these baseline issues out of the way first, because these things are feeding that gun culture on the second level. You know, a man should care about honor, integrity, and looking out for others, not, oh, I'm going to post it. Come take it. This mentality, come take it. I'm a big badass. And it's, so I'm sorry, Delvin, but I can't answer your question because we have a cultural issue in this country and I can't change cultural issues.
I think that makes perfect sense, what you said. I think you said it eloquently. I think you've proven your point. Any final thoughts to say before we go?
I think the one thing I would just refocus on is, like, again, we have to think about what is tyrannical, right? You know, like when people bring up that conversation about, I want to protect myself from the government or an intruder in my home, who's attacking your home? Are you is this World War Z or Walking Dead that you think you're living in? You know, what is the threat going to be? Are you defending yourself against the police that you love so much with your Blue Lives Matter flag, or the army that you know, the veterans that we all should support? You know, they're being the ones coming at you with a drone. You're not even going to know you got hit. You know, so they look at our government and they say, well, it's so tyrannical. How is thinking CRT is tyrannical give you the right to own 600 AR-15s? I think we need to have more of these conversations and call out the people who are, like, identifying the U.S. government as being this tyrannical regime, which I have a lot of issues with U.S. government, don't get me wrong. But, you know, Biden has taken zero guns. Obama took zero guns. So it's propaganda. It's a wedge issue. And it's meant to propagate fear and hatred of the other group. Because we all know that if it were black people who were armed, or Hispanic people who were armed, or if they, if these caravans that were marching to the country were marching here with the right to bear arms, that they would be, oh my God. Like, can you imagine if they had guys with rifles on their backs in the caravan? They would lose their minds. Where does your love for guns go at that point in time? You know, so that's really it. Check out Dig on America if you don't think I'm a complete idiot. And if you do, check it out anyway, because I am a complete idiot. My wife will tell you that frequently.
Well, there you go. I think that's a great way to end this. Check out Dig on America. Also, if you want to debate Dutch, what I can find you at on Twitter.
At Dutch Jason, Jasen is my personal. And I know it says Jason Dutch VFU up there. I thought I changed that. It's Dig on America. That's VFU is the old show from years ago.
Voice of the Underground.
Or you can check out the Dig on America Twitter page. So Dig on America on Twitter is at Dig on America. You can go to, I host a show with three other folks, Big Haas, Mikey, and Attorney Anna. We are live on Wednesday nights at 7:30 Pacific, 9:30 Central PM on YouTube and Twitch. Just Google Dig on America. We're on every podcast app. It's youtube.com/Dig on America, twitch.tv/Dig on America. You find us on Facebook. So, you know, we're just looking to build a community. And Delvin, you've been a great ally and a great friend, and you've been on our show many times, and I can't tell you how much your support and friendship has meant to all of us on this team.
Thank you. I appreciate that. All right. Thank you guys for listening to this part. We'll be back in a minute. Peace.